Well, in the wake of Wednesday's third and final presidential debate, a lot of attention was paid to Donald Trump's reluctance to come out and say he would support Hillary Clinton if she wins. It would depart from tradition, but is that really a deal breaker for anyone who already supports him or for anyone who might yet be persuaded?
Well, I think as soon as he said that in the debate, bells started to ring among political pundits, among political scientists, anybody who has a deep interest in American politics or the history of American politics, because particularly in the modern era, we haven't had a nominee. We haven't had somebody who's a step away from the presidency really call into question the process. So that was something that right after that, you saw lots of very conservative commentators and scholars and other people, along with people maybe considered more liberal, all say that that was a big deal, that that's something to talk about. And I'm sure it's going to dominate the news cycle for quite a while because it was so significant for him to basically say that he would leave the United States in suspense in terms of if he would accept the outcome of the election. It would have been a little bit different if he were to say that he was going to go along with the outcome of the election just as long as there weren't any problems. Or if he were to refer to the 2000 election and say, well, of course, ultimately, I'm going to support my opponent if she were to win, as I would hope that she would support me. If I were to win, we just hope that we don't have any kind of issues that take a little bit of time to resolve like we saw in the year 2000. But he was much more definitive and kind of final in not really qualifying a statement and just saying that he, you know, he would leave us in suspense and he'd have to kind of wait and see, which is just an interesting way to look at it, you know, and it really doesn't come down to being able to have an example to compare from either party or anywhere else. There really aren't examples of this. Now, when it comes to his base, I think that some people may see that as kind of a little bit of outreach to some of his base, some of the same people who are, I guess, subscribing to some of the myths that go around the internet about voter fraud or in-person voter fraud in the United States. I mean, people across the board who do research on those things say that it almost never happens. In the few cases where it does, it's really inconsequential. But that seems to be a new narrative that's being pushed sometimes by Donald Trump on the stump, other times by some of his surrogates. And I'm assuming that maybe he thought he could tie this commentary into that line of thought. But I think that those core supporters are still going to go with Donald Trump. I think right now his commentary really is more of cause for concern and alarm among people who are deeply invested in our political system or deeply interested in the political system. And it'll continue to be unpacked on shows like this, as well as television shows and in various magazines and newspapers as we move towards this election.
So let me ask about the conspiracy, the big conspiracy of the media to defeat him. We didn't get a letter here at WVIK. I sit on the NPR board of directors. Nobody at NPR made me aware that we got a letter, that we were supposed to go to some secret meeting and get together with CBS, ABC, NBC, The Tribune, New York Times, everybody else, and get together to defeat Donald Trump. Where did that come from? Why is that getting traction?
Well, I mean, as a political scientist who only moonlights with the media, I guess I could take a step back and really look at it and say that, you know, I really don't see the media being in the bag or in the tank for either candidate. I think that Donald Trump took a narrative that's been pretty popular, particularly in the last couple decades, among conservatives and particularly the conservative punditry, of talking about the liberal media or liberal media bias. And he really ramped it up as opposed to just a simple bias. Then, oh, you know, they're messing with the election. They're doing all of these things. And it really plays into, I guess, a little bit more of some things that may have been said on the alt-right, this new area of interest that we hear being talked about. But when it comes to Donald Trump, and the way that he's approached talking about the media, it has been interesting, because when he was kind of rolling through the primary cycle, he really loved the media because he got so much earned media. And earned media is times that you get to have a 20-minute, clip of your speech played in the middle of a TV show. You haven't paid for an ad, or you get to be the base of conversation, you know, around any particular political show. So he was getting a lot of earned media, which well outpaced any money that he was spending on ads or anything else. And he also, the polls were in his favor in most cases. And he's even said that when the polls work for him, he trusts them, he likes them. When they're not, he doesn't. So I think it's the same line of thought that he knows his base. He knows the people who support him the most, and they have a certain distrust of media, particularly when you consider the mainstream media, as they would call it. So he's reaching out to his base. The interesting dynamic with that type of outreach is that it doesn't do a lot to bring in undecided voters. It doesn't do a lot to bring some of those Republicans off the fence who have kind of taken a step back from Donald Trump. So I'm not sure if some of these tactics that he's using does a lot for him to increase his base of support. It kind of just continues feeding what's needed or what's wanted. Some people call it red meat to the base when he does these types of things, but I'm not sure how it expands. And it could be something where he may be setting the stage to have more influence in media in the future in terms of criticizing the media. And let's say if he were to lose, well, then maybe he would say, well, if he could get the ball rolling on blaming the media, then maybe he has the opportunity to be more of a player in political media. I mean, those are just a few theories. On the other hand, with Hillary Clinton, it puts her in a tight circumstance, because I'm sure that within her campaign, they're not the biggest fans of the media right now, because of all of these email leaks that are being reported on and all those things. But she then is painted into a corner where she can't come out and talk about the media in the same way he does, because she's scared she'd be painted mm-hmm. with the same brush.
Mm-hmm. All right, 2 weeks and 4 days to go. Where do the candidates go from here?
Well, right now, we're going to see the Trump campaign most probably is going to try to do their best to spin the three debate performances, because now this is what everybody's talking about, particularly this last big comment from Trump. They're going to try to spin it, and they're going to try to basically explain some of his comments that maybe have been controversial. He may do things a little bit differently. So that's where they may have a disconnect, but maybe he ends up really trying. It seems like he's been trying to rile up his core supporters. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, she is probably going to try to hold on to whatever leads she has. And we see that she's starting to send resources and staff and take out ads in states that really weren't up for, you know, competition before. So we're hearing talk of Georgia. We're hearing talk of a lot of different states that she may try to dip into. So we're going to see some gamesmanship going on. And we really haven't heard a lot about connection to lower level races. Maybe we'll see a little bit of that in the last 2 weeks.